So let's open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another day. We thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for the freedom of worship, Lord God, that has become more and more apparent to us. What a blessing it is that we have the freedom of worship. We have the freedom to gather together to learn of your word, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we continue to grow strong in you. Continue, Lord God, to press on in prayer, to press on, Lord, in learning of you, to press on in absorbing and learning your word, Lord God. And we don't want to just learn it, Lord God. We want to live it. Oh, God, deliver us as we prayed last week. Deliver us, Lord God, from evil. Deliver us and take us on, Lord God, to your will and your way. And we thank you and you praise. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come in and minister to us as only he can minister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So hopefully everybody got a handout from the back. Sign your name. Sign the sign-in sheet. If your name isn't on there, sign it on the blank sheet and we'll add it to the list. And if you have signed up for the class and it's not on the list, it's just because they pre-printed those lists. So next month you should be on the list as we have you on there. Okay, so we are starting with session 12, and even if you're just jumping in to Battle Plan for Prayer Book, you can jump in on any session and just catch right up with everything. But I did give you an extra handout, and that handout was just to go over some of the things that we went through in session 11. In session 11, we talked about the locks of prayer, you know, and I thought it was so important that we just kind of list the 10 things we went over probably back in late 2019 about the locks of prayer. So as we look at that, we can see that there were several things that we looked at for the locks of prayer. I'm just going to go over them real quickly that as they're on your sheet. And it says praying without knowing the Lord Jesus. And they have the scripture verse, John 14:6. Praying from an unrepentant heart, and that's from Psalm 66:18. Praying for show, oh, help us, Jesus, on that one, Matthew 6:5-8. Praying repetitive empty words, Romans 8:26. Prayers not prayed, just not even praying, James 4:2. Praying with a lustful heart, James 4:3. Praying while mistreating your spouse, 1 Peter 3:7. Praying while ignoring the poor, Proverbs 21:13. Praying with bitterness in your heart towards someone, Mark 11:25-26. And praying with a faithless heart, Hebrews 11:16. Just going over some of the things that lock our prayers, Lord. We don't ever want our prayers to be locked. We want our prayers to be released. And it was never more apparent than what we're going through right now. So as we look at session 12, and it's called How, the Keys of Prayer. We went over the locks. Now here are the keys of prayer. And our key scripture is from Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Oh, there's so much that you don't know. I'm telling you, God will show you some things in prayer. Won't he show you some things? I'm not talking about, you know, deep spiritual things, even though he'll do that too. But I'm talking about things that you need today, things that you need in the next hour. God will give you wisdom. God will show you great and mighty things. And you'll think it's just a coincidence, but I'm telling you, there are no coincidences in Jesus. I'm telling you, he will prepare you for your day. He will show you things that you don't know. And even he will show you those deep and wise things that you don't know. Even the things you think you know because you are all that. You know, God will show you. He'll have enough grace on you to show you anyways, even when you think you know. So as we go into this, your note says, while the locks of prayer lead us to repent and deal with wrong attitudes in our heart, the keys of prayer launch us forward into a vibrant and effective praying. And that's from our book. So just some comments on that. The relevance of this lesson has become to a new height of importance. And folks, if you don't get that through this pandemic, I don't know if you'll ever get it. The importance of the relevance of prayer and the relevance of keys to prayer and not having your prayers all locked up. More than ever, we must come to understand and practice the keys of prayer. We are living in an unprecedented time, folks. this world has never looked like it looks today. I mean, the entire world in a pandemic. I mean, there have been pandemics. You know, people talk about the Spanish flu and all these other things. But there's nothing, anything like what we're facing today, where the entire world, because of our ability to travel from continent to continent, the entire world has been consumed in a pandemic. Not only that, when you think about sex trafficking and slavery, you know there are more people in slavery today in the world than ever in the history of the world. More people, and I mean we're talking women, men, children, people of all cultures, all colors, all races, all of them. Everybody's open. Everybody's game to be taken and put into slavery. Folks, you can't let your children even play in the front yard anymore because people will snatch them up and take them and you will never see them again because of the unprecedented time in which we live. But in all of that, I'm here to tell you that we serve the light that shines in the darkness. I was playing that video by Toby Mac, Telf is on the Way. And he talks about the light that shines. He's in the darkness. He's shining the light in the darkness so that the darkness and the darkness cannot consume it. As the scriptures have been written about us, and I put that in your extra handout, the scripture from John 1, 4, and 5 that says, in him was life. In him was life. And in the power to bestow life. And the life was the light of men. Oh, he was the light of men, folks. He is the only light for men. Satan does not bring light for men. Satan does not bring light for humanity. The only light for humanity, the only thing that sheds exposure on what you're dealing with is Christ. And he says, and they said, and the life was the light of men. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it, and it is unreceptive to it. That's who we're serving right now, and you can see the relevance of why we need the light now, why we need it, because it's the only thing that's going to help us, and the darkness won't understand it. They won't understand it. Why are you loving people when they're hating on you? Why are you doing good? Why are you not returning evil for insult? Because you are that light that shines in the darkness. That's who he is, and that's who we are as we live in him. So you need to establish this truth in your life, that you are in the light, and that light is shining. Whatever's going on around you, in your home, in your life, you are the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome you. You understand that? You need to take that home. You need to pack that away. The darkness cannot overcome you. I know they make you feel bad. I know they say all kind of crazy things to you, but it cannot overcome you. It won't understand it because you'll keep loving them and they won't. I'm expecting to push your buttons. And instead, you're just shining a light of Jesus Christ. And it's never been more important than today. Christians are under attack, folks. Christians are in a battle in the United States. We are in a battle for our lives here. So we have to understand that. So as we go on and explore the keys of prayer with a whole new perspective of its importance, we look at several points. First of all, in your lesson, it says the keys of prayer bring us closer to God. The keys of prayer cultivate our relationship with God as we see him move in our lives as a result of our praying. We talked about when you pray, don't just pray and walk away. Pray and expect God to move. I'm praying. I just pray for somebody and I'm looking. I'm checking them out that day. I'm looking at them. How you doing? Because I've been praying. I'm expecting to change. I'm serious. I'm looking at my daughter. I'm like, how you doing, daughter? How you doing, baby? Yeah. You keep looking. You look at him. You be looking at your son. I'm looking. I just pray. I'm just looking. And just a little spark. If I see a little change in the attitude, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. There it is, Lord. I'm looking for it. And God is so pleased when he sees that in you because he knows that you believe him. You believe what he is able to do. So we're looking at him. We want to see a result. So it cultivates a relationship that you have with God. We see that he doesn't listen. We see that he does listen to our hearts and cares deeply about us. That's what we have to see. He cares about us. That you know that God loves you is so important. It's so important that you know God loves you, because if you don't think, you know, God loves you, you're not going to think he's going to listen to your prayers. Have you ever dealt with somebody that you didn't think cared too much for you, and you asked them for a favor? How certain were you that they were going to follow through? You know, you were stranded on the side of the road, and you asked, I got to ask Sarah to help me. Sarah, I'm running out of gas. Could you go up to the gas station and get me gas? You don't know Sarah coming back, because Sarah don't like you. Sarah may not ever come back. Won't even tell anybody you're on the side of the road, but that's not our God. See, our God loves you. He counts the very hairs on your head. Oh, my goodness. And when you talk to him, even before it comes all the way out of your mouth, he said, it's done, baby. I got it. I got you. I got you on that one. That's why I'm looking expecting. I done told Daddy. I'm just looking, because he's going to get that for me. I'm just waiting. That's the attitude that we want to have when it comes to the keys of prayer. When we get into those keys of prayer, you're going to cultivate your believing in his love for you within your prayer life. We have a mindset for better praying when we know that we love him. So that this love piece is the very essence of your praying, is love between you and your Father God. He loves you. And never park in your relationship with that. Always grow deeper and deeper in your love for him. Next point, the keys of prayer makes our prayers more genuine and more authentic. You know, it's not just a speech. It's not just a rote set of words that we just say just because that's the thing to say. I heard somebody else pray this, so I'm going to pray this. We pray with more truth about ourselves when this happens, and we get those keys going. We pray more truth. We're ready to expose ourselves before God. He already knows anyway. I don't know what we're trying to hide. I don't know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What are we trying to hide? He already knows. He already knows what you did. You know, what you're thinking. You know, the enemy doesn't know what you're thinking, but God knows everything you're thinking. You know?
You know what? Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered if the enemy can know what you're thinking.
Nope. He cannot read your mind. So how does he know so much? Because of this? Because you're talking? Because what you say, you know, if you make a negative, that's what I'm saying. You watch what you say, because you say, oh, I'll never be able to accomplish that. Then we say, okay, let's work with that. He already thinks he can't do it, so let's just whisper to him, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You know? Do you remember? You remember the grade you got on that English test 20 years ago? You still can't do this. You know, there's so many things. So it's what we say, and it's familiar spirits too. That's how mediums can talk to you. Familiar spirits, demonic spirits that are around you that go and talk to that medium. That's how they know things about you, because they're around you. We're surrounded by the hordes of hell, but we are in Jesus Christ. He is in here, you know, and greater is he that is within us. So we're ready to pray the truth about ourselves. We are quicker to repent, as we know that he knows us better than anyone else. And again, you see the importance of love in your prayers. When you pray genuinely, you can be open. You can expose yourself. You don't happen to have any pretense. You don't happen to have any walls up. Just real exposed conversation with God. That's why I admire King David so much, because he was so real with God. I love that. You know, you guys always hear me talk about Psalm 139, where he talks about, I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, who says that to God? Who tells God he hates people? David did. I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. And the funny thing, David was hating on them because they didn't love God. Okay, so he was in another spirit trying to defend God. I'm like, so it was really interesting. But at the end of that psalm, I love that change in him, because after he had blurted out all of this realness, this trueness about his feelings toward other people, he says this. He said, and if you see any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's how the prayer should end. See, you might start out ranting and raving, and Lord, you saw what they did to me again, and I'm just tired of them. They always taking my parking spot. They know that's my parking spot. My name is on it, and I got, you know, my number is on there, and they're always doing this, Lord. I can't stand them, and I can't, you know, I just say this, make me sick. But if you see any wicked way in me, Jesus. Oh, see, that's the way it should end up. He loves it. He loves when you're real with him. Might as well. He knows what's going on in you. You know, but if you see any wicked way. Lord, Lord, help me. I know I got a bad attitude. I know I shouldn't be hating on people, you know. And you know you feel justified, but you're not. But God will put you straight. I love when you expose yourself, he puts you straight. You know, he shows you Christ who humbled himself. If anybody should have exalted themselves, it was Christ, but he didn't. He humbled himself. Unto death, they says, even the humiliating death, I think the Amplified says, the humiliating death on the cross. It was a humiliating death. The next point on this, as we get into the keys of prayer makes our prayers more pleasing to God. Oh, isn't that the truth? We grow to trust his way when we pray and we readily pray his word over ourselves and others. We learn to rely more on the Holy Spirit to guide our praying than our emotions. And we got to really decipher those emotions from what is the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we think our emotions are the Holy Spirit, and it's not. Because the Holy Spirit is never going to tell you anything against God's word, okay? Not going to tell you to hate on people and to resent people and to get people back. That's not the Holy Spirit, okay? Let me tell you right now, that is you and your emotions. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you to love. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you how to walk in wisdom with that person. That's what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. Just the scripture that supports that is Romans 8:28. It says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray, to offer, or how to offer as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need at the right time, intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And that's why you want to invite, come on in, Holy Spirit. I don't even know what to say. I don't know if you've ever been so hurt, so wounded that you had no words. There were no words, and all you could do was just sit and just maybe just moan and groan. No words. Holy Spirit, intercede for me, because I have no words right now. This is too deep. This hurts too much. The loss is too deep, Lord. As intense as emotions can be, they can often be wrong and off task with the plan of God. We must learn how to pray God's word in the middle of a crisis. In the middle of our own desires, we have to learn to pray God's word. When our hearts are broken, we can learn to lift our hearts toward heaven and say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. I don't know if you've ever been there. Heart broken. Oh, the loss. It happened. The thing that I feared most, Job said, has happened. You know, but can you lift up your head and say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. God can be trusted with your life, folks. I can tell you that. And with the lives of others, he can be trusted. So all that being said, let's go into the 10 keys of prayer. Prayer, and there's the first key is praying persistently by asking, seeking, and knocking. The scriptures teach us, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, it will be open. And that's Matthew 7:7. Those are the words of Jesus. This persistent praying cultivates a depth of understanding for the love of God. I mean, I just, God, why do we have to keep persisting? Didn't you hear me the first time? Why do I have to keep on? Because this persistence is something that you see in children. Children give us a good example of that, because children, they will ask their parents for something, and they will keep on asking. You know, they keep asking. Can I have the bike for Christmas? Can I have the bike for Christmas? Okay, you didn't forget. You didn't forget that I want a bike for Christmas. I want a bike for Christmas. And why do kids do that? You know, they didn't you know mom and daddy heard you the first time you asked? Why do you, you know, it's like they keep it before them. But that's one point. They don't want the parents to forget, and God won't forget. But another reason is because they know that mom and dad love me. I know they love me. And I know if I keep on asking, they're going to give me what I want. because they take care of me and they love me and they want me to be happy. I know that, so I'm going to keep on asking until I get this thing that's going to make me happy. And that's what we do. We keep asking God. He sees your heart. There are people you're praying for. Praying and praying and praying for them. We just got finished with 40 days of prayer. And I have a copy. I meant to bring a copy of the prayer list because we're going to keep that prayer list going. And most of the prayers, there were like, we filled up like 2.5 sheets of just prayer requests. And most of those prayer requests were on family, salvation. Lord, save my daughter. Save my son. Save my grandchildren. Lord, you know, just, oh man, just souls. Most of it was souls. There was some healing on there, but for the most part, it was people praying. And I know it wasn't the first prayer time they requested. It wasn't the first time they prayed, but they're persistently praying. And God and Jesus said, pray and keep on, ask and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep it before me. I didn't forget. I didn't see it, but I'm looking at you. I'm looking at your persistence. I'm looking at your heart toward me, knowing that I'm going to do it. You didn't give up. You didn't give up on me. You didn't stop. Well, I'll just forget asking him. I'm going to take care of this myself. No, you didn't do that. You kept asking and keep on asking. And there is a reason why it takes time. There's a reason. God ministers like other people can't minister. God ministers from the inside out, folks. And sometimes you can't see what's going on. But something's going on. There's a rumbling going on in that person you're praying for, but you can't see the rumbling, okay? But God is ministering. He's setting up circumstances. They probably won't even share it with you because they don't want you to say, oh, they're gonna. If I say it, I know they're going to come back with me with a scripture. You know, so they may not even say it to you. But God is working. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. That song has just been, that song by Toby Mac was just, the ministry wants to say, help is on the way. So God says, pray and keep on praying. So you keep on persisting. The Father cares, and he understands that you realize that when you keep asking, it's showing him that you realize that he loves you, and eventually he's going to answer this prayer. So your note says, keep ever before the Father your requests according to his will. And that's key. There are things that we know are the will of God, such as the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. Now, we know that's his will, so we can pray for the salvation of our loved ones. Keep asking for the salvation of the lost. That's why Jesus delays his coming, folks. That's why he's not here yet. People say, why isn't he showing up yet? Doesn't he see we're in a pandemic? You know, why isn't he coming? Take us out of this mess. Because of this scripture right here. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He delays his coming because he loves people. He loves humanity. As the song says, even when I don't see it, he's working. He never stops working. Next point says, pray persistently and continuously for the salvation of others. Pray expectantly, looking for the movements of the hand of God in their lives. As I said, expectantly, look for it. Continually cover the seeds planted in them with prayer. If it is a family member, often the seeds are planted toward their salvation will come from others. Okay, you brought them. You brought them to Sunday school. You got that word in them. You did. You prayed with them. You did family devotion, and then they still went out. Those seeds are there. Those seeds are there. I loved one of the teachings I heard on the book of Genesis. And the teaching was talking about, notice that God did not create the plants, but he said, let the earth bring forth the seeds, you know, or the after it's all. I'm like, and he said that was a distinction there, because when he came to certain things, he created. He, let us make man, he said. Let us make this. But then when he came to the plants and the trees, he said, let the earth bring forth. Why? Because it was already there. Because of what happened before. He was talking about between Genesis 1 and 1, a lot of things happened. You know, they talk about the big explosion that killed the dinosaurs and all of that. And they talk about the kingdom of Satan that was on, that of Lucifer that was on the earth. And they said, so when that happened, everything was buried. And sometimes it looks like everything is buried, but all he has to do is say, let the earth, let, let Bobby bring forth the seed that was planted when he was in Sunday school. And don't you know God will bring that word back to Bobby at the right time, the right moment? I just believe that. It's just a beautiful thing. All God has to say, let it bring forth. And the seeds planted in people as children will come forth. If it was planted at a Bible study that they went to by accident in college, you know, and the things that happen, the Lord will have it bring forth. He will bring forth that those plants. You know, the scripture says one plants and another waters, but God brings the increase. And he will bring it. And that's what you're praying for. God, bring the increase. Bring the increase.
I heard this lady talk. She wrote a book about she always was telling her kids about Jesus, and she wouldn't let up because she wanted them to be saved so bad. And I thought, well, I'm guilty of this. Just keep talking about, supposed to my grandkids mostly, but she says, now I've learned to talk to God about how great my grandkids are, mm-hmm. instead of telling them how great, telling my grandkids how great God is. I talk to God about how great my grandkids are.
How great they are.
And she said that relieved me. Because so all I can do is plant seeds, but, you know, she said that really helped.
And you're speaking words of life.
Words of life.
Words of life.
And
you're watering.
So
yeah. Yes.
For me.
Yes.
You can, sometimes you can just talk and they turn you off, but I thought that is so huge.
Yes, yes. You know the look. I know the look you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
there
she goes again. They're trying not to roll their eyes, but, you know, they're holding. But, you know, I'm like, those seeds are there.
Yeah,
the seeds are there. And God, all you got to do is go in your prayer closet and just pray, Lord, bring forth the seeds. I know those seeds are there. And live Jesus in front of them, you know. So, So we go forth. So we keep those. So we continue praying persistently and continuously for the salvation of others. Pray expectantly. We talked about get those seeds coming forth. And then the next part, keep seeking to love them. Wow. Keep seeking. So we're talking. We finish asking. What about this seeking piece? What is that all about? Seeking to love them. Keep asking God to show you how to love them. Just as you were just sharing. Ask God to keep showing you how to love them. This is your calling as you pray for others to love them. Wow. The scriptures teach us, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. That's Romans 13:8. So don't let anybody else tell you how to love people, okay? You go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God show you how to love people. Don't let TV, don't let people, don't let media, don't let anybody. Seek the Holy Spirit on how to love people. You know, and I say seek because the Holy Spirit can tell you what to do for each individual. It's not a blanket thing sometimes. It's an individual thing because you love people some different. Some people are toxic. Some people you can't be too close to because they will destroy you, okay, because they're toxic and they'll destroy people around you. And yes, you know, you're cordial. You can pray for them, but the Holy Spirit will say this person does not belong in your life, you know. And then some people, oh, they can be mean. Mean, as someone said, mean as a mad dog. But the Lord will call you to love them. Bring them a cup of coffee, Renee, after they were so hateful. And you just bring them a cup of coffee. Here, I just brought you some chocolate. I just brought you a little Hershey. You know, God will let the Holy Spirit show you how to love people. And listen to the Holy Ghost. You know, some people, okay, Lord, I'm just going to have to pray for them from afar because I can't have them close because they're dangerous and they're toxic. You know, and then some people, oh, I mean, you can't go by attitude. You can't go by little Miss Mary Poppins so I can love her. You know, you don't know what Mary Poppins got going on. God may say, keep Mary Poppins out of your life because Mary Poppins got some stuff going on you don't want coming close to you or your children. And then the meanest, most hateful person. God says, no, I want you to go over there. I want you to just take them something. Just love on them. Just do this. Just do that. Hear the Holy Spirit when it comes to seeking. That's what that seeking piece is about. Because you're asking God for something. But don't think you just park yourself because you're asking. You're waiting for him. But you're seeking. You're seeking to love people. Show me how to love them, Lord. Are you talking about your family members? And that's a biggie with the family. Because you just want like, you know, I'm done with you. You know, I'm tired of your attitude and I'm done. You know, I raised you and we're through. You know, God will tell you something different. Don't think just because you carry them for 9 months, us women, we carry them for 9 months or you raise them, that you know how to love them. You still don't know how to love them if you don't have Jesus to show you how to love them. Ask Jesus to show you how to love them, you know? Because I had to learn some stuff. Lord says, no, because you think you can, I know you just didn't say that to me. Do you know? You know, and Jesus will show you how to respond to them in a way in which it ministers to them. Because when all is said and done, folks, you want them in heaven, okay? You don't want them to see you as the big boss. You want them in heaven. So I will humble myself and listen to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to let you get away with that because Jesus told me to. This time, Jesus told me, this time I'm going to let you get away with it. You know, I don't know about next time, but this time he told me to let you get away with it. Okay. And you just come back and you love them. They come back home and you got the dinner. Baby, you ready for dinner? You got dinner ready. And you just give them the nicest meal in the world. And boy, what does the Bible say? That he's coals of fire upon the head. That's what it does.
And you can't do that in your own person.
You can't do that.
Not
no.
In your own person.
You can't do that. And you don't, you know.
Because if you don't have the Lord and his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, you can't do it.
No, you won't. Or if you did it, you do it with an attitude.
Yeah.
You throw them the food. Don't do that, Virginia.
I remember one of the, I think it was Pastor Wilson says, it's easy to love the ones that love you.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But try loving the ones that hate you.
Yeah. I know. That's the hard part.
That's
where the Holy Spirit's got to come in.
But then the Lord shows you through Scripture, don't let it bother you, here's my because you're going to be persecuted because I was persecuted long before you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he always comes back when you're kind of feeling like a shortcoming there, and he'll give you a scripture or you'll be in tune with him. But I think the hardest thing that would be is to try to love him in your own person.
Wow.
It won't work. That's the reason why there's so many divorces, because it's not sacrificial, it's selfishness.
Amen.
On both ends.
Yes.
You know,
amen.
It's like they said, shacking up with somebody, it's all selfishness.
Yeah.
Man, you go get married, then it's sacrificial.
You got a commitment.
You made a commitment.
Yeah.
And it's sacrificial. And that's where the difference is.
Yeah.
And like I say, but to love them, when they look at you with spitting.
And the thing about it, you know, the scriptures say you to love everybody.
Yeah, just love them.
What's all that about? You know, you got to love everybody. Everybody. There is no exclusion to this.
No.
You know, and the Lord had to bring me along. I'm like, everybody? Everybody. You got to love everybody. You know, pray for people. You know, don't have an attitude and, you know, you're going to walk on the other side of the street. No, pray. You know, I've gotten to the point, I'm like, Lord, that's going to get as close as I can. Just walk by and just pray. You're praying for people. Like, you know, come on, bring it on. Because greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. So, yeah, come on close. Come on close. Sometimes I'm taking people's temperature. I'm like, and they don't even know I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, just help me deliver and set free by your power. Jesus' name. Oh, 98.6. You good.
You know. That's
how I am in the morning. Yeah. Yeah, those of you that are taking temperatures. Yeah. Pray over people when you take them temperatures. I'm like, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take this opportunity to pray pray for folk. You know. Because usually I'm not even paying attention, but I got to pay attention to people now. Okay. Yeah, I'll be praying. Take opportunity and pray. For people. Take that. Yeah, I know.
That's true. I pray before I go to Jamaica.
Yes, yes. You go you go in your quiet time, you have some prayer, and then you go in there ready.
Good
I'm ready.
Morning,
yes.
Hang in the face.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Why is she so happy?
This morning, today's church.
it's definitely prayer, and it's definitely a burden for the lost.
Yes, a burden for the lost. Well said. Because that's what it is when you have that heaviness that Jesus has. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, that's why I wait. That's why I haven't come back for you yet. That's why. Because I'm waiting. A few more is coming. So I'm waiting on them. You know, so praise God. I love his heart.
You know, it taught me, and this is not a, you know, you're not supposed to hate people. I'm looking for something to say. I just had it in my head, but anyway, what taught me was I always knew that our problem isn't against flesh and blood, it's against the enemy, but I knew that. I didn't really know how to see it, I guess. I just didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
What helped me to see it was actually one of your handouts from prayer group. Mm-hmm. And I read that thing, and it just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed. It changed me right there.
Mm-hmm.
I understood it for some reason. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, it's right in front of your face, but you don't see it.
Yeah.
And I seen it when I seen your handout.
Wow.
And that changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. You know, our problem isn't against them.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
And actually, you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, but it really isn't against them. And, and that helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the enemy.
It's against the enemy.
The enemy is the one controlling them.
Yes.
So that really helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed everything for me here just recently.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
It's spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
That's what we're constantly in. Surrounded by the hordes of hell. That's why you need to pray. And then this last part is we talked about asking. We talked about seeking God. And then the knocking piece. Okay. Why is Jesus talking? I mean, why did Jesus say knocking on top of it? Keep knocking. Your handout says as you pray. Knock as an act. Knocking is an act of doing. As you are asking God, keep doing the work for him. Often we're waiting for the Lord. Often as we are waiting on the Lord, it is like knocking on a door, waiting for the progress or the opening of the door to a newness in life. Jesus says to keep knocking, keep doing the work the Lord has brought you to, and the door will open. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes when you're doing the work, the answer is going to be in the work that you're doing. You know, don't park yourself and say, well, I'm just going to wait right here till he answers my prayer, but I'm just tired. I'm just going to wait right here till he answers my prayer. Oh, don't do that, folks, because you're missing. You're missing your blessing. And sometimes it's you're waiting because you're not ready for the blessing yet. Okay, hello. You know, we think we are, and you're not ready, but you keep working, and God will bring you along. He'll bring you to a place that you're ready for the blessing. So God is always has us on. He will always have you on assignment. I'm telling you, God is never idle. God always will have you on some kind of assignment. Often the answer is in the assignment, or preparation for the answer is in the assignment. Remember the talents? The story of the talents in Matthew 25? He talks about the one that had the 10 talents, and he went and he invested his and did something with it. You know, he had all these talents, you know, and, you know, sometimes we look at the people that have all the talents. They can do this. They can do that. Boy, they're just good at everything. You know, they're so blessed they have this. And then they have the one with 5 talents, and they invested theirs and was doing stuff. And the one that had the one did nothing, just went and buried. I'm just going to sit here because I don't have 10. I don't have 5. I'm just going to sit right here. And I'm not going to do anything for God. I might come to church, okay? That's all I'm going to do, because you only gave me one thing, you know? Oh, don't do that, folks, because God called that person wicked. Why would I bless this? Why would I bless a person that would not even take care of the small things, you know, the little things? God is like watching you, like, okay, I gave you a little something. Let me see what you're going to do with it. You know, are you going to sit there? Or are you going to do something with it? And when God says, I'm going to take it, you know, water it, nurture it, and it starts growing up into something, God says, okay, I'm going to bless you a little bit more. That's the way God works. You know, and God, it's not that God doesn't know what's going on in your heart. He knows, but he wants you to see what you're about. And some people are like, if you don't give me the best, then I'm just, you know the type of people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They don't have the best, the shiniest, the newest. Oh, you got me a used computer? Glad you got a computer, folks. There are people still using pen and paper. You know, pen and paper. Oh, but you know, we got to learn that. God, there's something. God wants you to keep on knocking. It's a key to prayer. Key to prayer is that you're busy. You're on assignment. Key to prayer is that you're seeking God in your day-to-day activity. That's a key to prayer. And that was that was just number one, folks. That was just key number one. Okay, let's move on to key number two, praying in faith. Now, that seems really obvious. Your handout says people who don't think they'll get what they pray for will likely not get what they pray for. And that's from our book. And the scripture says from Mark 11:24, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. So what's this scripture all about faith? I believe Jesus has given us a picture of the great things. When he talks about a mountain, you know, he's talking about a picture of the great things that we could do if we would just have faith in God. Okay, some of the greatest people in the world, you would never even know. You would never even hear about them. You know, they have done great things. They have moved mountains for God, and you never even hear about them. I've listened to those missionaries. You know, boy, I can't even imagine being out here, being out there, going up and down a river, ministering to people who don't want to be found. Can you imagine? I mean, I just couldn't even imagine in the heat and, you know, all the kind of the swamps. Who knows what's coming out of those swamps, you know, and different things. But just to have that kind of heart, to be able to do that kind of faith, to move a mountain, to go in those places that, you know, most people won't go. Those are mountain movers. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, if you would just have faith, if you would just believe me, you can walk into anywhere I tell you to walk into and make the difference. Your handout says, often you will not believe that God will answer your prayers if you do not know the will of God. Now, that's key. Got to know the will of God. Learn and study his word so that you know what to place your faith on. You know, you're praying things and you don't know if you don't. Will God answer? Let me see. If you read in the word, you can believe it's the will of God and you can put your faith on that. Lord, you said it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come in repentance. You pray God's word. You know, I often mention Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. I'm telling you, pray God's word to say, God, you said, you know, not arrogant and not, I've heard people pray to God in an arrogant manner. No, we're not talking about that. We're always respectful and we honor him. And I said, Lord, with all respect and with all honor, you said that is not your will that any should perish. So that includes this person. That includes that person, that you don't want any of these folks to perish, but that all would come to repentance. So once you know, have faith, once you have the faith in something, once you know God's word, then you know what to put your faith on. This will cultivate you knowing the heart of God. To have great faith in someone you need to is something that you need to know. Have you ever asked a favor of somebody, again, that you did not have believe in? Didn't have any faith in them. They're kind of waffling, you know. But when you come to asking God, you know how he's going to respond. Again, you got to know he loves you. He's watching. We come to really know Christ well when we have faith in him. And as we see him respond to our prayers, our faith grows more and more. You grow to believing. Rita gave me a picture one time that says, faith is not believing God can. It's knowing that he will. That's faith. I know he will because his word said. He said it. You know, and that's what I believe. And the enemy will always seek to kill your faith. That's one thing you got to know, too, that faith is important. But the enemy will always seek to make you doubt God and to doubt. The enemy will tell you that your answers to prayers are just coincidences. Even when God does answer, oh, that's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence that car came up when you needed it, take you home when you were stranded on the side of the road and just happened to be your best friend. And she just happened to be coming that way, you know, because something happened. That's just a coincidence. That's not God. Oh, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, before that day even came, God already knew. He already had it in place. Oh, he answers our prayers. There's no coincidences in God. Pay attention. I tell you, since I've cultivated my prayer life, I see more in the day that God is doing. I used to just walk right past it. You know, didn't even see it, didn't even faze me. But now I see, I hear what people are saying more. And, oh my goodness, that's different. You know, and oh, you know, I've stopped being so busy and listen. And I'm like, oh God, you're moving. Oh boy, I've been praying about that, Lord God. And I see a little, there's shifting going on. Oh, pay attention. God is moving and God is working and it will grow your faith. There's no coincidences. You start praying about something in the morning. This is happening. It even happened to me today, praying about something. And it's something that I felt the Holy Spirit was telling me. And then I heard a song on the radio that was confirming it. And then got in a car, came in the service, and they confirmed it again. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, no coincidences, but you've got to be paying attention because God is speaking. But if you're, you know, off in la-la land, you know, not really focused spiritually, you know, you'll miss it when he's trying to tell you, I heard you. I heard you. I heard you. That's why they're playing this song. That responds to the prayer you prayed. I want you to know I heard you. So why is God responding in a song? Why didn't he just come down and appear to me and just tell me? Why does he? Because only God can do stuff like that. See, only God can respond in a song. And only God can respond from a random person that comes up to you and says something. Only God can do stuff like that. That's why he's just showing off. You know, that's what he does. He's just showing off.
You know, he does answer all prayer.
He does.
When I was 14 years old, I prayed for my dad. I'll make it short. For my dad and I to get along and have a good time and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in my early 30s, my dad and I went out and did exactly what I was praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought, hear your prayer come to pass. I don't know why it took so long, but he answered the prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
He actually answered it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I don't know why it took so long.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, from then on, he answers all prayer.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe not when you want it to, but he answers it.
And his timing is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, he's never late, he's never early, and he's never late. He's right on time with everything he's supposed to do. You know, so praise God. So your lesson goes on to say to pray in faith is important to know God's heart toward you and others. This is not to say that you need a degree in theology to pray. You know, we're talking about knowing the word. But you need to receive and accept God's love for you as you pray. Walls down and believe him. Believe that he loves you. Love energizes your faith, guys. The scriptures teach us, and without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's Hebrews 11:16. We've heard it over and over again. So walls down and believe him. Next one of your lessons says, I have found that receiving the love of God has done more for my faith in him than anything else. When I finally accepted that he loves me. And that seems like a really simple thing, but folks, that's hard. When you grow up in this world where there's so much heartache and so much pain and so much disappointment, and so people do all kind of things to you, you know, and we hurt each other, you know, it's hard to believe that this omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God loves me. I can't even believe that he sees me, much less loves me. If you think about it, when you think about the universe and you think about all the galaxies in the universe, we are a speck in one of the galaxies. Mm-hmm. The planet we live on is a speck in one of the galaxies. And then I am a speck on the speck, okay?
Yeah.
So how in the world am I supposed to believe that the God that created all of this sees me? Much less loves me.
And chose you.
Me, yeah.
And that's the big one.
And then we sinned against him.
Yeah.
We turned on him. Did all this stuff. And it's hard. So I'm telling you, I know it's not easy. It took me a while to really believe. You know, we heard it since we were children. Jesus loves the little children. I heard, you know, but it was hard to believe it. Because who am I that you would love me, that you would see me? But I'm here to tell you that he sees you and he loves you. And when you finally accept that you love you, that he loves you, you can believe him to answer your prayers. The love piece is crucial to praying in faith because it is based on a loving relationship. The more God's Spirit communicates with us, we can more clearly come to know what he is wanting to give us. And that's from our book. So if you have a hard time believing God loves you, then I'm telling you, I encourage you, park right there in your prayer closet. Lord, I need you to help me believe that you love me because I'm having a hard time. Be real. Let the walls down. Explore. Lord, I just don't believe you love me. I just got to tell you. I just got to be honest with you. I've heard this. I know it says it in your word, but I'm having a hard time believing that you love me. And park right there and watch God do something in you. And once you cross that hurdle, your prayer life will ignite like you've never seen it before. You know, you'll walk around here like king, like a king's kid, you know, king's kid. You know, that's where I walk around. I walk around town like I'm a king's kid, you know. I mean, I just walk around. I said, I know he got my back, and I don't tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going into some dangerous area, but I don't walk around all fearful and afraid, you know. You know, I do my thing. I wear my mask and do my thing, but I'm like, Lord, I know you got me. Your word says my days are written in a book, and it's not today, Lord. I'm going. I'm fine. I'm doing what you called me to do. And that's the attitude you want to have. You want to live in faith. Live in that love that God has on you, that he loves you. He's got your back. I may not have done everything I needed to do, but God, you got my back for tomorrow, and we can do it. We can do it. I think about that scene in Gone with the Wind, that final scene where her house is on fire. And she says, well, I'm going to go lay down now because I'm tired and tomorrow is another day. I love that. I'm like, yeah, house on fire, everything. She goes, I'm just tired and tomorrow's another day. I'll deal with that tomorrow. And sometimes that's how you have to be. Like, okay, the house on fire, but Lord Jesus, tomorrow's another day. And you got it. So on your lesson says, praying in faith means that you do not speak negatively about what you have prayed for, what you were just talking about, Kathy. You were talking about that. What you have prayed for. You speak words of life. Feelings aside, get that, and allow words of faith to come out of your mouth. I know they got you, want to spit nails, but feelings aside, let words of life come out of your mouth. Live and move as if you believe. Speak words of life over your prayers. Don't pray and then talk negative about what you prayed for. Folks don't do that. You're just canceling everything. Note the account of Abraham and his relationship of faith in God. As Romans 4:16-22 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all, father of faith he's called. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. How is he father of many nations? Everyone that believes God is a child of Abraham, okay? Because he's the father of faith. The scripture says, God who gives life and to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not be weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And here comes God saying he's going to have a son. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, I'm telling you, you can believe God. You know, I remember Joyce Meyer was saying, he said, you know, don't worry about missing God in your faith. He'll find you. You know, if you miss, he'll find you. He'll say, no, baby, we're going to get you the green Cadillac, okay? So just, we're going to get you this, you know. He'll find you. He'll find you, and that's all right. He's always a good God. You know, so don't be afraid to believe something that you believe, you know, in all your heart. You say, Lord, I believe this is your will for me, and I'm going forward in it. God will find you if you're on the wrong track. And if you're on the right track, oh, look out. He's about to bless your socks off because he does exceedingly abundantly above what you could ever ask or think. You know, he blows my socks off. I'm like, I wasn't even looking for this, Lord. I was just happy with what I was. And he just blesses your socks off. So Abraham believed, and he's the father of faith. He believed God was going to do what he said he was going to do. So anyway, we're gonna stop right there. And I know you guys have already made comments. Anybody else want to make some more comments? Here you go.
I was thinking this whole time, I just remember Oral Roberts used to always say, expect a miracle.
Yeah.
It's like, it always comes.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's always there.
Expect it.
Yeah, just expect it. It's going to happen.
Expect it, yeah. I mean,
if you ask, all you have to do is ask.
Yes. Yes.
In his name. Yes. I just feel like I got to ask in his name, and it's not my will, but his be done.
Yes.
And you know it's going to happen in his timing. But.
Yes. Yes. Amen. He will do it. I mean, every prayer you have ever asked, he's got it. Mm-hmm. He didn't forget it. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes, you know, if you are asking, he does, as Gary was saying,
right.
God answers every prayer.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes the answer is no.
Right.
Like, no, you can't have that, because
right.
that's going to hurt you.
Right,
so, no,
exactly.
You can't have that. It's not that he's
right.
trying to keep anything good from you.
Right.
It's he knows this will hurt you, so the answer to that is no.
Or and, he has something better down the line.
But but I have something better for you down the line.
Yeah.
But if this is a no on that one, we're gonna take a pass on that one. You know, because it's you and him now. It's like you guys are
that's
a team.
Right.
Like, we're going to take a pass on that one, okay?
But and, I do hear you.
Yes, yes. And sometimes it's wait. I'll give it to you, but not right now. It's not ready for you yet, okay? Let it fully simmer. Let it fully cook. You know, you don't want this. Those potatoes are still hard in there. You know, you just want that to simmer a bit, you know? And sometimes it's like, yes, you got it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, you're going to love it. It's coming. Can't believe it. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. So,
you know, when you think about it, you know, of how God is so faithful and so good to us, and to know that all we have to do is try our best to be obedient and stay in prayer and just and trust Him.
Trust Him.
Trust Him because, again, you know, you know, I had made the comment, and I thought of it this week that I was... Early in our prayer meeting, and I didn't want this to come out any other way than, but remember when I said, we can't trust in man? And I didn't, I meant in general, because the only one we could trust in is God.
Yes.
I didn't mean that married women don't trust their man or little kids, you know. I didn't mean that.
Yeah,
But I it came to mind this week as I was praying, meditating, and that came to my mind. I was just, I wonder in the room if there was some of the people that thought that I was doing, you know, too hard in that area. But when you think about it, who else could we trust?
Amen.
When you really, really think about it, who else could we trust?
But God.
But God, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And that's for everybody.
Yeah.
That's not just for women. That's for men. That's for children.
That's right.
You know,
that's
who we trust.
With the Holy Spirit.
That's why, amen.
With everything nowadays, especially because in the end days, he said, everything that's right, that's wrong, and everything that's wrong, that's right.
Yes.
And so we have to really... be in relationship.
Yeah, and you can be deceived like that.
Exactly.
You know, not deliberately, not willing. But you were saying, Virginia, you were talking about trying to be obedient. And we are. We're trying to be obedient. And God looks at, I love that the Lord looks at our sincerity. Because sometimes we're trying to be obedient, but we're going on, wearing off on another path because we don't have enough information. We've been lied to, whatever, you know. And so we're walking in a path that's different than what God would have. But I love that he looks at our sincerity. And I say that so that the enemy won't poke at your faith when you found out that, oh, my goodness, I did something wrong. Oh, that wasn't what God wanted me to do. Don't let the enemy mess with your faith on that.
Because God looks at that. Yeah. I'm strong in saying this.
Yeah.
But I went through a trial, and I told you about it here a few weeks ago, and that was the roughest. I say it's a trial. It was the enemy for sure.
Uh-huh.
But it was really a hard one. It was really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I missed church. I was just, I was ready to throw in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
But my flesh was ready to throw in the towel. My spirit didn't want to, and that's another story. But all the time I knew that, you know, I was wanting to give up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't. And as hard as it is, I just kept praying and talking, you know, speaking to God and everything and where I was at and everything. Mm-hmm. And I came out of it. A lot of it had to do with my son. And I just see the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he everything turned around.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is you don't give up, you don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And times will come
mm-hmm.
when you're going to be tested or whatever it is. And I wanted to quit. But I didn't, and as hard as it was, I still kept pushing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I still kept pushing, and I kept pushing to God. I still loved him, and I still believed,
mm-hmm.
and everything else, and everything just turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, here just the other day, he suffers from alcohol really bad. It's killing him, mm-hmm. literally. The doctors have even told him that. But anyway, he was listening to Christian music.
Wow.
He was just crying his eyes out.
Wow, praise God.
Son, you'd say, wow.
Amen. That, oh, boy, we were praying.
Oh, yeah, he was
hallelujah.
Praying.
Hallelujah.
I see the
I
enemy.
Tell you, it ends from the inside
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
They're not saying a word to you, but they're going to do something.
It's literally a tug of war.
Oh,
I was telling you, with tug of war, I see the enemy. God comes in and does this for him, and then I see the enemy come and take it. But God is winning,
mm-hmm.
literally.
God,
I mean, the truth,
is
and this is just recent.
Yes.
The music.
Yes.
He is ready to come to church. He's even talking about getting baptized.
Wow.
And just everything is turning around.
That's awesome. The answer to prayer and the
it is an answer to prayer. And
yes.
God answers.
And we expect
yes,
victory.
We're expecting.
And that's why it's so important to pray. And then we get to be blessed by hearing the victory that took place.
Praise report.
And
thank you, Jesus.
This is all because we were obedient.
Yes. And this is just the first of many that's coming. I'm watching that list. I'm telling you, I'm seeing changes with my daughter. I'm just seeing changes. I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I know God is doing a work. He's doing a work. And so we believe God. We keep looking toward him. Don't let your faith, don't let the enemy poke at your faith.
Yeah,
you keep believing God.
If I would have taken that, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Not only would I have lost, he would have lost.
Yes.
So the one you're trying to help would have lost because mm-hmm. I wasn't there to try to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you trying to help somebody mm-hmm. else, your neighbor, whoever mm-hmm. it is.
That's the whole scheme of the enemy.
It,
see,
then you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting others.
Yeah, that's the whole scheme of the enemy. He wants to knock the prayer warrior down. Mm-hmm. You're uprooting those demons. You can't see it. But the enemy knows, Satan knows, he's uprooting my demons, so let me go and get rid of him and stop this praying.
That's
you know,
right.
Because, oh, when you pray, oh, don't you know God dispatched warring angels
That's right.
and delivering angels and ministering mm-hmm. angels.
That's right.
Oh, when you pray, and they're in the spiritual realm doing warfare
That's
on
right.
behalf of the person you're praying for, you know. Where's, you know, those demons are being thrown aside. And, oh, the Spirit of the living God is penetrating. So thank you for sharing that, Gary. I'm so excited to hear that. I am so excited to hear that. And God is doing, God is moving. God moving.
He's going
through
advance. He's working.
Yeah, yes, he's working.
He's working, and I think I found out that today talking to Pastor Steve about mm-hmm. it, that he's ready to come over here, which I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
but I think Thursday we might even have, he might be coming to...
Recovery?
Yeah. What's
Celebrate Recovery.
I got to remember his name.
Pastor Rob.
Rob.
Yeah.
I got to write
yeah.
that down.
Yeah.
But if I think that I can get him to come.
Yes.
And actually start...
Celebrate! Oh,
you know,
praise God! I'm praying on it. We're going to be praying. We're going to be praying on that.
You want to let him see and celebrate recovery, and hey, what God done for these people, yeah. he could do it for you.
He's already seeing that,
and mm-hmm. he's already seeing that.
He's already seeing it.
Mm.
But see, then the enemy comes in and steals it, and he starts talking.
We're not even going. We're not even going there, Gary. He ain't stealing nothing.
Well, greater is before. But I see, I'm getting stronger, and God always gives me an ammunition.
It's Fifth America.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Well, I won't take up any time, but...
No, that's all right.
Anyway,
we enjoy hearing.
I know the miracle is here. God is growing. He's getting stronger in his life.
Yeah, we love hearing it, Gary. We're just determined. We're going to speak words of life over there.
That's right.
We're going to speak words of life. He's coming.
He's coming.
God's blessing. God's moving, and we're going to continue speaking that. Over Kyle, right?
Yeah. Well, before I say it back and forth, but I see the Lord wanting it. It's not such a tug of war anymore, is what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he's ready to do these mm-hmm. these things.
And God will do it.
He was crying and listening to Christian music.
Jesus.
It just really tore me up.
Amen.
It touched his heart.
Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray in just a minute.
Thank you.
We might be getting out of church in
I
a few minutes.
To know that.
So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for your goodness.
Yes.
We thank you for your mercy. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your grace, Lord God. We thank you for answering prayer, Lord God. And we just pray over Gary and Kyle. And we just pray over his family, Lord God. Father, I know you will do exceedingly abundantly above what Gary can ever ask or think, Lord God. So we pray that over his whole family right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just rebuke any hindrances the enemy would bring. Lord, let the crooked places be straight. In the name of Jesus, we pray over everybody here, all the families here, Lord, all of us. We have requests. We have loved ones, Lord God, that we want to see come to you, Lord God. We have needs, Lord God. Father, we pray right now you go before us, Lord God. We've determined to keep asking, to keep seeking, and keep knocking, Lord God. And we determined to keep asking in faith, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that are struggling, believing that you love them, Lord God. Meet them, Lord God. Even this week, Lord God, take them to a whole new level of understanding of your love for them personally, Lord God. I'm not even talking corporately. I'm saying personally.
Yes.
Let them understand and receive, Lord God, how much you love them. Bring that revelation as only you can bring to them, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. It's so marvelous in our eyes. We're excited about what you're doing, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Father. We don't deserve it, but we say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for considering us. Thank you for considering the specs on the speck, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you listen, Lord God. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.